Check 1 2 1 2.
You 1 2 it. 1 2.
1 2 1 2.
1 2 to 1 to 1 2.
Hello.
1 2 to 1 2. 1 2 1 to 1 2.
Hello everyone. Welcome to Life with Liani podcast. It's me, Liani, and I'm here with my very handsome partner in crime.
Hello everybody. I'm here too. Nice to see you. Or, wait, not see you. I do this on my own podcast, too. Nice to be with you again,
yes,
wherever you're glinting from.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, as always, honey. And welcome. We're going to be covering...
Finances.
Finances,
that's
budgeting.
That's what we're doing today, right?
Pretty much. I guess because we're starting all over again, and it'd be kind of nice to do this, maybe a part one, as a part one, and then see how it works down the line and review what we're covering today.
Yeah, we can play it by ear.
Like an outcome kind of podcast.
Well, I think we should probably start what gave you the idea to want to sit down and do this one.
Well, we're starting over again.
Yeah, you had seen something with the credit score. I remember you like.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I got super excited because I don't know if credit score can be talking, say it like a political thing. We don't talk about politics and stuff like that. You can talk about your credit score.
I mean,
I can say excellent.
Sure.
I mean, can say it's excellent.
I don't see why not.
So I'm just excited because I got a little email that says from Credit Karma's like, you know, congratulations. You know, and I kept getting these.
I'm sorry, I got to stand up.
That's okay, honey.
I'm going to be standing for this episode.
So, yes, just a little feedback. He actually had an operation about a week ago.
Yeah, it was like
about a week ago.
Yeah,
about a week ago. A week ago.
See, it just jumped in my head too when you said that, Bobby Shmurda. Yeah, it was maybe like 10 days ago, I think, around.
So he's sore.
Yeah,
and sitting hurts.
Well, it's just because I've been on the road the last couple of days, so you know the long hours. Like, luckily, I wasn't traveling by myself, so my buddy did most of the driving.
Yeah.
Actually, he did all of the driving. So you know, Mike.
Shout out to Mike Murray.
Mike Murray, thank you, buddy. But yeah, it was so I had to just keep like getting adjusted. But right now,
that's fine.
While I'm trying to sit and do this, I'm like, oh, I gotta stand.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So.
So.
All right. Now that we got done with, I'm sorry, I derailed the podcast so quick because I had to stand up. It's brutal.
We're starting over again. Mm-hmm. But even though we're starting over again, when I got the news that it went up and I'm in the excellent score, I got super excited and I started reflecting that in the past. Well, it'll be 2 years in June when we really started doing strict budgeting.
Yeah, because that's when we moved in together.
Yes, we moved in together, like officially.
Over. Yeah, that's when you would come to me and you asked me to like kind of start helping with the finances.
Right.
And, you know, we had the whole let's work together conversation.
Right. And budgeting and what I need to do.
Yeah, and then when I took over the finances, I was like, oh my God. Because
it wasn't that bad. It was
no,
just
it
more like
but...
check to. I mean, I was kind of living large, but not. I never lived past my.
No, you did. But that's what we had to fix. You didn't know that. That's the thing. You didn't have a budget or anything in place, so you were just living. And that happens to so many people. That's why I looked at why do you think one of the first things out of my mouth was like, all right, what kind of subscriptions do you have? And you were like, what about my rent? I go, let's start with the ones that bite people in the ass. The little ones that people don't think about.
Right, right, right.
That's why.
Right, I get it, I get it, I get it.
So that's why I looked at them like, you had like 3 subscriptions that you don't even use.
Right.
So, you know, like, so, I mean, I guess we can, where do you want to start with this? Because I can just start rambling
so
here.
So here it is. So my credit score is excellent. And the thing is that before 5 years ago, I didn't exist. And I'll explain.
Oh, you mean like on the grid as far as like credit?
Right,
and shit?
Because I was married and my husband provided for the family. I was a stay-at-home person.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was in his name. Mm-hmm. But before we married, when I was living in Rhode Island, I was single. You know, it wasn't the best. I really was struggling because I was a college student and a single mom, and it was hard. My income wasn't that great, so I had to, you know. But then. When I was living in New Hampshire and didn't have anything in my name, once we started deciding we're going to separate and divorce, I had to have my own things. So the first thing I got actually was a cell phone in my name.
Mm-hmm.
And after that was a car, right? I was excited to have gotten that. So now now flash forward 5 years, I went from a non-existent customer, right? Mm-hmm. To Liani having excellent credit, and I get all these things like, oh, you can all these offers like low income housing budgeting, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what? I really want to talk about this because I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. I feel like I'm in the mud.
Oh, I get you. All right, that makes sense.
Right? Yeah, I feel because I'm just getting back to work after surgery. Because
you're like, how am I even excellent right now?
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
And I know why. I have to say thank you, Derek. You are super organized in budgeting and super strict. And I appreciate that because I don't think I would have gotten
like
doing that.
That's the thing. It sucks having to be the voice of reason sometimes, like, because like I want to go do things too. You know what I mean? But it's just it's.
But explain why you don't like doing it, because you said it's something cute the other day. Like, I don't want to keep saying no to my wife. You know
yeah,
what
that's
mean?
What's hard. It's like, because I feel like every time one of these is like, yeah, no, like, but it's just not right now. You know, no. It sucks after time. That's why like I was like, you want to go get pho? We can afford to go get pho.
Let's go have a date. That was the first date. Like getting a favorite soup that we have.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, because we're ruined for going out.
Like, yeah. Like, every time we cook really good. You're an amazing cook. Yeah,
that's
is
a separate episode.
But basically, we went out, and it was been since September of 2019, and here it is, February. Right, so that was our Valentine's before your surgery, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but we're starting over again, and what I mean by that is that...
We're pretty much back to square one where we were when we first moved in with each other.
But I can explain the reason why. Like, I was told after my surgery, I'll be back to work in 4 weeks.
That's what we planned
for. It almost took 4 months. We did not plan for those extra three and a half months.
The level head side of me wants to think like, all right, maybe we just weren't paying attention to the doctor. Maybe he said or wanted to say 4 months and he said 4 weeks and maybe he was having a rough day and he, you know, screwed up with the info.
Nope, I said,
like,
I,
how do you fuck that up?
I had to type a letter and I'm like, so just to be clear, I have to write the note down. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, according to my doctor, I should be back by, and that was 4 weeks to the, you know, to the day of the surgery, from the day of the surgery. Mm-hmm. Nope. When I went to see the nurse practitioner, she's like, no. Like, we'll look in 3 months, and recovery could be 6 months to a year.
We both had a look come over our face like we just saw a ghost.
Absolute fear.
The feeling I had in my gut when she dropped that bomb on us, I was like, wait.
I was so scared, yeah.
What did you just say? Mm-hmm. Did you just say... Four months? What?
Yeah.
And then they judge like, well, sometimes it takes about 6 months to a year. And I felt my legs get weak.
You,
like,
I felt.
I got spaghetti legs at that point. Yeah. I was like, a year? Because like that, I don't know.
It was tough news. It was tough news because, you see, I didn't just go into surgery. Mm-hmm. It was more like I put off my surgery until I felt like I made enough to cover that 1 month not being...
Yeah,
right.
We planned for it,
and
we planned for what we thought. You know, right. With working with the information that we had.
So right. So I worked a little bit more, and once I had enough FMLA time and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So now you understand why we are starting over again.
Yeah.
But we're not in a bad place.
The numbers
right?
didn't match.
Yeah.
Basically,
it didn't. So now I'm back to work. I've been actually back to work about 33 days, like that.
Somewhere around. It's been over.
The 14th. So almost 40 days I've been back to work. Mm-hmm. It is a struggle, right? And I'm not at full time still. So I'm doing part time there. And I work for two agencies.
That's right? We're on the road to recovery.
So and that's the thing.
Right,
we're
now
super penny pinching. So. But I want to be able to share for those that want to do things and break it down for them. And how you can
basically how you went from no credit score to now being an excellent, because that comes up a lot.
Well, and in my line of work, I have to teach my customers, who most of them are super low income, how to budget, because that's their worst fear of not being well enough, where they have to, you know, well, they might lose something, lose a car, lose their apartment.
Yeah,
so
which
I
is
have
scary.
To, yeah, and I have to work on with that, and you know, with
and that causes that. Like more stress too, because then you start worrying about losing the car, your mm-hmm. judgment gets clouded, you're mm-hmm. so stressed out that you can't make good financial decisions.
Right.
You know, you think you're like budgeting and things like that, but you're genuinely not, because you actually haven't sat down and put things in place.
But you also sat down with my son a week ago.
Well, his was easy.
Yeah. It is easy.
His was easy. But that's the thing. Maybe this is something that like a lot of people don't know. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what do you want me to do? Just like use like what I had to do for us to get to help get you from zero to
break it down. I mean, I have a couple of things jotted down. I can
share them. It's like, I actually, we have put so much work into your credit. You're now better than me. Like,
I know.
You're 10 points ahead of me.
Because I was non-existent. And then you know, you were existent the whole time since your 20s, right?
Yeah. Like, not even. I think I was even, you know, learning credit cards before I even moved out on my own. The first credit card I ever got was a department store credit card for American Eagle when I was 16.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Mine was a clothing store too.
Well, it's the easiest ones to get approved for department store credit cards. Yeah. And that's why if you have no credit, I think that's a great place to start. They're easy to get approved for. And most of the time they'll only give you like maybe like a small 100, 200. Like my first credit card, it was like a $250 limit. You know, it was very, very minuscule. But it helped me learn how to use credit.
But for you young people out there, it's super important, like, especially that they're getting their first credit card, to use it to build your credit, but use it wisely where you're not going to rely on that as a sole income.
Oh, that goes across the board. Never, ever. That is over your limit. That's literally like rule numero uno when it comes to how to use a credit card. Never spend more than you have.
Right.
You know, so that's why, like, for, you know, one of the examples I could give, like, I use the credit card with us for our groceries. You know, we have our budget in place. I know that this is how much we're going to spend every single week.
So what is our budget every week? Why don't we share them? Like, because the way I see it is basically in my mind, in a nutshell, it is knowing what comes in, knowing what has to go out. Mm-hmm. So those are the needs. And then,
we can totally start breaking it down. But that's the thing. But I want to bring it back to the beginning of what we had to do to repair the credit before it could grow. Because that's what you're saying. You're like, well, it wasn't beyond means. I'm like, well, there were things that were screwing you over that was making it harder for you. So if you're trying, so now we've said how do you start, which is, I think, the easiest way is with the store credit card. Then when you, or if you're trying to, what you were doing with repair, look at, I'm a big believer in Credit Karma. Their app is super easy to use. Their website is even easier if for whatever reason, you know, you don't like using phone because the view can be kind of weird sometimes. But you need to get at least some type of credit report so you can see what's on there. There could be something on your credit report that is hurting you that you didn't even know existed. This is where people find out, like, you know, identity theft is a most common thing. People will take out a credit card and somebody else's thing. It's happened to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But getting a credit report will give you an idea of where you're at. Because that's why I want, you know, to bring it back to the start of the episode. And I said, well, look at the little things, those little subscriptions. If those things are easy to forget about, who knows what the hell you could have forgotten about with your credit score, your credit report.
Right.
After times, you know, even just something as simple as an electric bill, if that goes to collections, that now affects your credit score.
So step one, get your credit report.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally get your credit report. If you have credit established.
Credit history.
All right. So if you find, you know, that you have problems, that is where you start. Like with you, when we looked at your finances, babe, you actually had a couple of things that were hurting you. You had a toll to the state of New York that got like way out of hand, that got sent to collections.
Right.
You got a couple of parking tickets from one.
And by the way, I wasn't driving. I was sleeping when someone was driving my car, and I told them to avoid it, and they didn't.
You better stop right there.
Yeah, I have to explain that. No.
All right. But that's the thing. You didn't know that because you were sleeping. So who's going to think to check, you know, a credit report for, do I have any outstanding tickets? You know, you had a lot of things. Not a lot, but you had like four or five things that were sent to collection agencies that were murdering your credit. And these things happen and people don't realize it. So that's numero uno. If there's any black marks on the report, that is where you start.
And they're all cleared, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, well, because that's where we started. You have to start there. Then once that's out the way, now you know your credit is cleaned up. You're in better standing. Now it's time to start using the credit with the knowledge that you have and use it properly. That comes now with budgeting. So with using what you asked for with the groceries, though our budget has changed, when we're doing well, because we like to live at home and eat well, I like to keep our grocery budget on the 125 is like where I like to keep
it. And so you know what? In my head, it was 100. So for this whole time, it was 100.
Because that's where we are now with the penny pinching.
Even before.
Well, because that's always our goal. our goal. You always set a max.
Okay.
Always set the max.
Because I thought the max was 100, so I always went under 100, if you notice, and I didn't know it was 125.
No,
so
I see the receipts, I see how much you spend, and I'm not going to say shit because you're staying below where I want us to be.
Yeah.
It's a great job, babe. but that is a great example. You set your max, and then you kind of, you always want to keep it under that.
Mm-hmm.
That way you know you're good.
Right.
That way you don't have to worry about a damn thing. So with us, how the credit card comes into play, like right now I said our thing is 100. So $400 a month on groceries. I'm going to put that on the credit card because I know that $400 is coming in because I've already budgeted. I know that it's coming in. I don't have to worry about where that money is coming from.
So before you do that, you have to know what's coming in. So that's really the next thing is know what's coming in.
Okay, yeah, I'll back it up.
Yeah. Because you can't set it up if you don't know.
Groceries really an example. Yeah. Good point, babe. Thank you for pointing that out. So in order to find out your budget, this is where it comes into, do you get paid weekly or biweekly? You know, because that's pretty much the most common pay rate when it comes to people. So you need to know how much money you have coming in. So if you get paid weekly, take the last four paychecks, add them up, and get the average. And that's what you base your budget on. If you get paid biweekly, take those two paychecks, add them up, take the average of the income coming in. If your rate of pay fluctuates a lot, like if you make like a couple hundred this week, but then the next week, you know, you're making like a G-note, you know, if you come from the entrepreneurial world, I would say track your finances for a couple of months, maybe like 2 to 3 months. So that way you really get like the highest end of money coming in and the lowest end of money coming in, then you can find your average a little bit better. So once you got your average, base that out of how much money is coming in every month, and then you break down like, all right, so what's my rent? What's car payment? What's phone payment? What's internet? What's gym membership? And then you got to start thinking the little things like, all right, what do I, all right, I have Netflix. So that has to be included. Do I have Hulu? Yeah, I got Hulu. All right. I also pay $1.99 a month for this music service. The little ones are the ones that will screw you up because if you don't remember to either pay those or if you have them on auto pay and they hit at a time where you weren't planning for it, that will throw a budget off 6 different ways from Sunday. So you need to be tedious. Once you set the budget, get every single expense. Because that's first and foremost. Once bills are paid, then you can worry about everything else.
Right. And that's the thing. And I like it. So right here where I'm standing at is our erase board. Mm-hmm. It was yours and I adopted it when you moved in.
Yeah.
But he, you know, you break it down. For a minute, you actually had like wedding. There was a part that had wedding, but because...
Well, I put that in a spreadsheet now. I'm a big, you know me with spreadsheets.
Yeah, so he took everything that was on the... But originally it was a board. It was things that we have to get done, broke it down, and then expense for the wedding. You took all that information, you did put it on your spreadsheet, right?
Mm-hmm. It's organization.
Right.
That is also another issue with finances, is it gets very disorganized.
And you don't have to pay a lot of money to get organized unless you want somebody else to take care of it, but
it's a free program.
So I mean, like Excel or something.
Yeah, the exact same program. They're very, very user friendly programs. I mean, I think I'm Mac. Pages, I think, is one of the best tools to use to budget because they even have a thing in that program that is like a user friendly like Budgets for Dummies. You literally just punch it. It has everything for you. You punch in the numbers, and then your computer will tell you what your budget is.
It probably wants to bitch slap you and just like.
Yeah, like once you have all the information, it's just a matter of putting it into effect.
And you have to. And I noticed that you stop and you put you take the time to record and to receipts. We always save it, and I always say, babe, do I save this receipt, do I not save this receipt? So it depends.
Yeah,
it depends on
those. People think it's just like, it's a receipt, throw it
no,
away. There's a reason
no.
they give
yes.
you that.
Yeah,
like, and that's if you're on and top of your finances, you should be taking that receipt home, and you should be if you paid it with the credit card, that now goes on your credit card sheet, so that way you know as much how much did I just add onto my credit card this month, so you know what the hell to pay.
Another thing about credit card is using a percentage don't go over a certain amount when it comes to using that credit card. That's something that you and I keep an eye on.
Well, you got to know your APR. But this is, falls into what I said before with, like, you don't spend more than you have.
Mm-hmm. But people think, like, oh, I can just pay it off. But they don't understand that APR can actually...
Not just the APR. They don't understand that life can happen.
Right.
You can, may have go, like, I know that this is an extreme scenario, but it does happen. You may think you're all set to go and buy that flat screen TV, but when you pulled out of the parking lot, some douchebag ran the red light. Now what? Now I got all these car repairs. I shouldn't have bought this TV. Yeah. Damn it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You can't prepare for life, but you can give yourself a better fighting chance if you put certain things in place. So right. With what I was saying about making sure you don't use more than you make, like, I know that money for groceries is coming in every month. I'm going to use the credit card because I don't get any sort of points or rewards for paying in cash or paying for my debit right. card. The bank doesn't give me anything back for just using my debit card.
Right.
Credit card companies, which is, if you're going to get a credit card, once you start getting your credit in good standing, you're going to start getting more offers for shit.
Yeah.
You want to find ones that have a cash back or a rewards program.
Absolutely.
Because they're giving you back money that you're spending. So for me, I know with that $400 getting paid every month, I know that that's points on our rewards. Now, I also know it's only $4. But that's $4 back in my pocket.
Right.
You know, that's
it's just a better interest rate than a savings account. If you totally, think about it.
Then the way, and that's with what I was talking about before, how like the little subscriptions yeah. can screw you over. The little rewards, $4 here, $5 here, $3 here, $9 yep. here, they add up. And then one day you're looking at your credit card, you're like, I have $200 in points. Yeah. Go have yourself a date night.
You can put it back on the card.
Or you apply it to the balance. Yeah. But if you're staying on top of your finances, you shouldn't have a balance to pay off because you're staying with it. Yeah. Credit card companies love when you pay your bill.
Absolutely.
Not when it's due. Just pay your bill.
Right. So that's another thing. You can pay every week. That's another thing. I notice that you pay sometimes 2 to 3 times a month.
You can pay every single week.
And they love that because that's why. Because then I got a letter like, congratulations, they upped it another $10,000. Mm-hmm. And they actually lowered our APR as well. So mm-hmm. you get rewarded, folks. And that's really super important.
And I understand like the credit cards, especially if you've been stung in the past because, you know, you let it get out of hand, which is very easy to let it yes. get out of hand. I understand. I've been there. You've been there. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of like the best way to like to word this. I guess don't have fear of it because when it's used correctly and it's such a powerful income tool.
So
like don't let yourself. I'm trying not to swear, but don't. Honey, can I please swear? You know me. I can't talk if I can't swear. Don't mind fuck yourself out of using a great financial tool. Plain and simple. Like, cause there's so many options that you can have with that. Mm-hmm. But don't use Discover Card. I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah,
right now.
No, I had that one.
Don't use Discover.
That was my first credit card.
But it's a lot of people's first credit cards. Yeah. That's how they get you in.
Yeah, and so college students, avoid that one, like, please. Yeah,
look, I respect your candor. You're still here. I don't know how, but don't get Discover Card.
Speaking of college kids, my son... will be starting his first job, and I definitely want him to sit with us so he can learn about budgeting because mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. listen. My kids listen to you, and they're very, like, even Caleb, my boy in Florida, like he's learning to invest. He's teaching himself to invest, mm-hmm. and then he I always say hook yourself to a star, not something that I learned in the Mary Kay business when I was back in the day consultant. Basically, find someone that you want to be and you want to emulate so that you can be successful. And my sons have kind of taken that on, and Caleb looks up to his boss, who is a young entrepreneur. So mm-hmm. these things, we don't just we're practicing it. I'm seeing it myself, but also just around my sons, the next generation, incorporating that kind of understanding. So
oh my God, this next generation, you know how like there's always this stigma of like the older generation is always kind of like these kids today. Don't take offense because of the age gap. I genuinely think that my generation is...
Explain that. I'm 50. I'm going to be 52. You're going to be 35.
Yeah. I think my generation is going to be the first one that can't say shit. I know so many teenagers. well, not know them personally, but know of them through social media and just the world of the internet,
yeah.
who already have their own brands,
yes.
who already have an e-commerce store, a drop shipping company. Mm-hmm. They know so much more about finance and wealth than their own parents right. at 16 years old
yes.
because they've grown up with social media mm-hmm. and influencers and people who share this information on the regular.
I was just talking, and I was just talking about youth. I was just looking at my, so we're trying to get a couple of Rodriguez's, my family, together. And one of my cousins, she's working, she works doubles every Sunday. Last year, I was working three jobs. I still work for two agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was bartending for the first time, which took a toll on my body. I'm in my 50s.
That was the thing. It was like, once you saw what needed to be done,
I stepped up to the plate.
Like, all right, I need what to pay these bills? And I'm getting it.
And I started bartending, mm-hmm, right?
You know?
So,
and you had nights where you
come home crying.
Work both agencies, barely make it up the stairs because you had been standing all day.
Till 2 in the morning, getting home from the bar in tears.
Like, that's what I was telling you. I was like, babe, you know you don't have to do this bartending. And you didn't want to hear it. You're like, I need to do it right now.
Yeah.
You know,
because I really wanted to get things moving for us. Do you know what I mean?
You
know,
and that's the other thing, too. You got to be motivated. Mm-hmm. If you really want to get your shit in check, it starts with you. You were motivated enough to get up and get it done. Some mm-hmm. people, when they see that number in front of them, what they need to do, they freeze up. They get scared. They're like, I don't even know where I'm going to get that money from.
I will say, from the I started working at the age of 14. From 14 to 19, back in the 80s, I had saved $3,500.
Wow. That's back in that
time.
That's dope.
Unfortunately, my first husband was terrible with money, so he had huge bills, and all my money went to his bills when we got married. I got married at 18. I was just a kid.
Yeah, you didn't know any better.
I didn't know any better, but I'm putting that out there that I always hustled. My family is that way. That's why we have bad backs, and I had back surgery, because we push it. But if you do it wisely, you're not pushing yourself anymore.
Mm-hmm. I do want to backtrack, though, because you talked about with Caleb how he's trying to get into like investing and things like that. I do believe that that is a certain level of the financial game, because people talk about what should I invest in? What should I do with my money? That like, get your shit in check first.
Right. And when you have disposable cash.
Yes. Then you worry about that.
But just dispose it on things, mm-hmm. you know.
If you're genuinely like want to invest, that's why I love Caleb. He don't know anything about it. He went to a financial advisor. He's working with somebody. These right. people do exist. You know,
I have one. I love them.
Yeah. Now, do you have to pay for the service? Of course.
Of course you do.
Of course you do. Don't be cheap. All right.
Like, but that's only if you're that level.
Yeah. If they're going to help you, you know, it's people helping people. You know, it's not a win-win. I don't like win-win situations, because someone can win more than the other person in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a no-lose situation.
Exactly. I like that.
No-lose situation. Nice. That's awesome. So investing. Don't worry about getting to that point right away. You get your shit in check first before you worry about that, because there's so many different things that you can invest in. It will blow your mind. So start day one with the credit first. Or if you're genuinely that excited about it, you know, if you got a couple $100, do what our boy is doing and go sit with somebody.
Absolutely.
And right now with being tax season, I'm a big believer in find yourself a good accountant.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go.
I love my accountant. I go to New Hampshire.
Yeah. Now I usually know that all those tax services, you know, TurboTax and you know all the other free ones and shit like that to file certain. I've even used H&R Block. I've used a paid service, but you know, there's a reason why they're cheaper than everything else. You know, an accountant, they know things and they can teach you things at the same time of how to get these write-offs, what to plan for each and every year. There's so many ways of getting money back at tax time that you don't know because certain services, they don't tell you. An accountant, they want you to come back that next tax season. Yeah. So they're going to take care of you in a way these big firms aren't going to. So that's another piece of advice for financial thing, as I do believe you should get yourself an accountant. Now, they do cost more, yes, but if they're getting you more money back, that's business 101. You know, mm-hmm. you got to spend money to make money. If they're going to get you a whole $1,000 more on your taxes back, You really gonna bitch about the extra hundred or two to pay them? I know I'm not, you know?
Right.
So that's why then get yourself an accountant. That's a really important thing. And I know you love yours, babe, you know?
So I do. Jean Martell in Londonderry. Awesome, awesome accountant. And also Londonderry, New Hampshire. Sorry, yes. New Hampshire folks. And also Melissa Laverty. Was my neighbor, and she's also very smart. These two folks are very savvy with their tax knowledge and laws.
Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're local to our home state, I work with Sherry Ferdinandi out of Cranston.
Rhode Island.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. So, what's another thing you want to cover?
And the thing is that we're just sharing all this because it's Life with Liani, and right now we're starting over because of living without that income. Because I am the main breadwinner, and I used to feel uncomfortable saying that, but it's the type of position that I am. I went to school and I did all this to be able to jump back into it, but it doesn't just, the money just doesn't crawl in. I'm in it part-time, so we're still at a crawling.
Yeah, but this is where the budgeting, that's the thing. Like we are fortunate enough to have this knowledge and have these tools to put into place, so starting over for us isn't as bad, you know, for someone else who doesn't know this, because we've been in that position of like of being clueless, not knowing how these things work, not knowing how to budget, and the stress and anxiety that comes with finances.
Oh my gosh,
is just.
And I do read a lot, and so the beauty is we at our fingertips on your phone or on your laptop. There's things out there. Like right now, I'm looking at My Money Couch, which is, you know, a website that breaks things down. There's apps and there's info and there's books. If you love books, like I love books. I love going to Barnes & Noble's if they still exist because I haven't been in a while. They haven't been in a while. Still,
you know, speaking of books, there was one. Don't just pick up any old investing book or find money straight. There's a reason why there's so many books out there. Because everybody's had a different thing that has worked for them,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, not everyone has all the answers.
No,
you know, that's why there's so much information on this topic.
The information they offer has to match your life.
What I will say though is don't look for books that have an enticing title, like one that caught my attention early on when I was trying to learn finances and investing. I actually just donated it recently, was The Lazy Person's Guide to Investing. That right there caught my attention because I was looking for Easy Street.
Yeah.
I wanted that easy way out.
There is no easy. There is no easy. I was going to say that. There is no easy. And if you're young enough and like can have the stamina, get a couple of extra side jobs. There's people looking for workers and, you know, do what you got to do, man.
You know, but I do want to point out with that book, you know, I learned with that like when they say the lazy, it catches the normal person. But once you start reading the book, you realize this is for the lazy millionaire. You know, the top 1% when they come to investing, people like, they're like, they just make it look so easy. You know, like there's a social media guru that teaches. His name's Timothy Sykes. You know, you're well aware of him too. You know, he's not the greatest trader in the world, but the dude can teach. He's a mountain of information when it comes to finances. And a lot of this.
And he's a pit bull.
You know, and I
don't like that word. He's not a pit bull.
No, but a lot of the information that
he's
gives.
He's a chihuahua.
Yeah, that's actually a lot more fitting.
Yeah, because pit bulls are amazing.
But like there's a lot of these finance guys that if you find them on social media that will give a lot of free information.
Yeah.
A lot of the credit information I got came from Ty Lopez. That dude went live on Instagram one night and just started spitting knowledge. I sat there with a notebook and I was taking notes like crazy.
There's so many talented people. Social media. There's people out there to pay attention to. I've been paying attention actually on TikTok on a couple of people.
So, but to finish the point, what I was saying with like the 1%, you know, when they say the lazy person, that means that like they take 100K, they throw it into an investment and they just let it sit. And it creates like what most 1%ers look for. They're looking for 10% back on their investment over the course of a year. Now, you think about the common everyday person that's like, well, I got a couple hundred bucks to work with. You know, I'll keep it simple. I got $1,000 that I can work with. All right. So if you're trying to look for 1% type return, that means you're only looking to make $100 over the course of a year. Most people will hear that number. They'll be like, $100 for an entire year?
For sure.
I'm not doing that.
Right.
But that is what 1% mentality is. They're looking for 10% because they've got the bigger money to work with.
Right.
You can't compare those two.
Not at all.
So that's why I say with the investing, there is no easy way. Don't look for those cheap books that you think is going to teach you this grand old scheme of things. Sit with an advisor or sit down yourself, do the due diligence, sit in front of your computer screen for hours on end for an entire summer like I did and learn stock charts. You will get a serious headache. Your eyes will start to go crossed. A lot of it is not going to make sense. But the information I gained from watching how these charts and things work, it helps over time. You know, because there have been instances where trading a stock or two has paid a couple of bills. Mm-hmm. You know, but it all takes time. So start with day one. As I know, we're just kind of like through like a lot of more advanced stuff here at the end. Rewind this podcast. Go back to the beginning. Listen to the day one stuff and start there.
So basically, set realistic goals. Know what's coming in. Know what's going out. And stick to it. And if you mess up,
discipline.
You gotta be super disciplined. And actually, I don't know. It's, you know, when you were a child and you did really, really good and you get a little sticker, mm-hmm. or and then you get older, you did really, really good.
You want a you sticker? Worked. Look at your credit score go up.
And that's what I'm sticker. Saying. Now as an adult, I was like, ooh, I'm so excited. I even screenshot and I sent it to you. I'm like, thank you, babe. Thank you for teaching me.
And they do give you a little strict. Gold star.
They like, actually do. Actually I know. There. And so I was all giddy and I was just like, like a little kid. Thank you for joining us today. Again, we are Life with Leani podcast. You can join the Life at Leani community on Facebook or at Life with Leani on Instagram. And you can also email us at lifewithleani@gmail.com. And also, I want to say, can we please give a shout out for your podcast? Because you actually do have a really good episode about budgeting.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
so
sure.
Give us your stuff.
Yeah. No, because I did an episode of this. I had a couple of followers that like reached out asking about like, I don't even remember what it was. I'd done like a post something about investing and then I had a couple of followers reach out. I'm like, all right, screw it. I'll do an episode on this. The podcast is called A Little Bit More, M-O-O-R-E, you know, because of the name, pun, yay me. And the episode is called Show Me the Money. So it just goes a little bit further in depth of how to use, you know, credit cards to your advantage. Because it's a really powerful tool, but just not many people have the information. But it's out there, so I gave some. So if you want to go give a listen to it, I'd really appreciate it. Thanks for the plug, boo.
Thank you, babe.
You know, and thank you all very much for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in. For sure. Love you, babe.
I love you too, honey. See you guys next time.